Welcome to The Goodnight Show. I'm Shay Morrison, sleep expert and co-founder of The Goodnight Co. Join me each week for hints and tips on all things sleep.
Hello and welcome to The Goodnight Show. We've all had those nights where our worries keep us awake, those times you wish your mind had a shutdown button, and you lie awake for hours wishing for sleep. Add to that the worry that comes with knowing you won't get enough sleep to get you through your day tomorrow. Anxiety is one of the most common factors impacting sleep. So we're really excited to welcome today's guest, Anna, the anxiety coach, to the show. In this episode, Anna shares her top tips for breaking the vicious anxiety lack of sleep cycle, explains why anxiety worsens at nighttime, and gives us some anxiety combating strategies to incorporate into our regular sleep routines. Anna, welcome to The Goodnight Show. It's so wonderful to have you here and to be connecting with you today. One of the questions that I love to ask all our guests is, how did you sleep last night?
Thank you for having me on. And that's a great question because actually last night I didn't have the best sleep and it's always ironic when that's the case, I bet.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is the whole thing. It's not worth hiding that, as, you know, people who work in this space, people ask me all the time, oh, you must sleep really well. And generally I can say that I am a great sleeper, but it's certainly no means the norm of every single night. You know, you can work at it and work at it, but sometimes we don't always have a great sleep. Today we're going to cover off anxiety, stress and anxiety and the role it can play in sleep. And what better person to speak to than somebody who is completely qualified in this area. So maybe you'd like to share with the audience your background and what you specialize in.
Yeah, thank you so much for the ability to just be authentic as well when it comes to the questions. So my name is Anna Ferguson. I go by Anna the Anxiety Coach, and I am a counselor and breathwork guide who really specializes in supporting women with anxiety, panic disorder, and trauma to come home to themselves using a lot of holistic techniques. So I've kind of taken the best of all worlds within psychology and counseling and then coupled that with coaching as well. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Fabulous. I mean, your calling would certainly be serving a lot of people right now. The world is in a very different space to what it was, you know, 12, 18 months ago. One of the big topics that we find at The Goodnight Co. is the role that anxiety and stress can play with sleep, and vice versa, sleep with anxiety and stress. So it's a little chicken and egg scenario. And I guess that's, you know, what we'd like to talk about today, and how this is really affecting a large proportion of Australians, well, in the world, but we want to, you know, talk about Australians here. And, you know, from your perspective, what does it look like for people who are struggling with stress and anxiety? What are some of the things that you see? How does that play out for sleep for them?
Yeah, so this is it's a really interesting question because, like you said, it's chicken and egg, and it's something that is really not so much about what came first, because at the end of the day, like, we end up having both of them happening concurrently, and both play into one another as well. And like you said, this is something that impacts Australians all over the world. I think I read a statistic that about 60% of Australians suffer from sleep disturbances and waking up or not being able to fall asleep. And as someone who also used to experience insomnia and anxiety to the nth degree, I know how difficult it can be to have that kind of tenuous relationship between sleep as well as your mental health. But they are so deeply intertwined with one another that it's really, I love having this conversation, because I think sleep is honestly one of the most underrated tools that we have at our disposal. But how do we actually use that tool to its fullest extent? So sleep deprivation actually continues to actively activate the amygdala, which is a small arm and part of your brain, which is responsible for the fight or flight response. So that is what is going to promote symptoms of anxiety and overthinking. So when we don't get enough sleep, specifically REM sleep, it really amps up this kind of activating part of our brain and tells us that it's not safe, that we need to ruminate, or we need to be doing other things, very much survival mode. So sleep's not really something that we use for survival, because we need to stay awake and be alert. So you can see how it impacts every facet of our life. But like I said, the REM part of our sleep is the most important part. So in terms of like quality and quantity, we need to be getting enough REM sleep, which tends to happen later on in our cycle. So after 4+ hours of being asleep, that is when we get lots of good REM sleep. And that is what helps decrease activation in our amygdala and helps us feel more calm throughout the day as well. So it's a really kind of intertwined type of ordeal that's going on in our brain. And when we can kind of put into practices some effective strategies during our day, and as well as when we go to sleep, we actually have a much greater chance of having good sleep and then impacting our anxiety as well.
That was a great explanation for anyone listening. I'm sure they'll go, oh, that really makes sense now. But, you know, a lot of people really struggle with the waking up 2 to 4 a.m. And while that can be many different reasons, because sleep is so personal and so personalized, if we were to take a step back and look at it from a whole body functioning perspective, part of that can be around stress and anxiety, like you're talking about, and therefore impacting that. That's probably generally in that really deep REM stage as well. So, you know, that's all starting to make sense for people, because often what we're saying to, you know, explaining to people is that, you know, if you are that person that is waking up continually between 2 and 4, then stress and anxiety may be playing a role in that. So if that's a really big problem for you, then taking a step back and looking at, as you said, what can you be doing in your day? Because it's not really things that you can be doing at nighttime to help this. It's actually, what are the strategies during the day consistently that you can take on board to really calm down, decrease the cortisol levels so that you're not experiencing that at nighttime? Would that be fair?
Yeah, 100%. You nailed it.
Yeah, great. So what are some of those things, you know, that you would recommend? Because you are, you do specialize in breath work, and, you know, you are a counselor and you have all of these tools in your toolkit. So what are some of the things that people can use during the day?
Yeah. So I loved what you just said about consistency. And I think that's one of the main things that I cannot stress enough to people, that you have created a pattern or a cycle that you are currently on. So you, whilst it's uncomfortable that you're waking up at 2 to 4 a.m. or you're having trouble falling asleep, this becomes a pattern, and it's something that your brain latches onto as well. So in order to break that pattern and to rewire your brain, it needs to have repetition and consistency for it to learn that new pathway. So a lot of the techniques and tools that I'm going to share might seem really simple, and that's because they are, and they are easy to implement, but they have to be done consistently to have an impact on our sleep. And one of the best quotes that has kind of stuck with me is exactly what you said as well: good sleep starts during your day. And this rings so true, because we can do all of the right things during the day, and that primes our body and our brain for rest during the night. So one of the best things that you can do is to get morning sunlight. And that sounds so simple, but morning sunlight really helps reset our circadian rhythm. So 5 to 10 minutes of morning sunshine has all this good infrared wavelengths that are going to really help set the day. So A, they'll make you feel more alert when you're going through your day, but they'll also kickstart your melatonin production for the evening as well. So that's something that's really simple. We tend to wake up and we look at our phones straight away, but going outside for 5 to 10 minutes and just sitting in the sunshine, maybe having a cup of tea, even if it's gloomy outside, there's still going to be good UVs out there for you as well. So that is a really, really simple one.
And it's really achievable. As you say, you know, we're really saying here 5 minutes. If you can get 3 minutes, great. And it doesn't have to be, if you live in an apartment and you're on the 10th floor, then go and you don't have a balcony, just go and sit in the window and bask in those rays of sunlight, because that will definitely change the patterns.
100%. I live in an apartment and I go out the front door and I stand there in the morning and just get the sun bask in my face. And it has changed the game for me. Because like I said, I experienced a lot of insomnia over the years. And this was something that I didn't even think that was necessary. And I was like, morning sun, how is that going to help me sleep at night? But it's just become part of that ritual. And even small amounts of it during the day will really help set your circadian rhythm back into its kind of natural pace as well.
And it's simple and free. And as you say, it's not just necessarily in the morning, but you know, during taking those breaks during the day. So if you're at work, if you're working from home, or if you're in an office, or wherever you might be in you know, driving a courier van, then just stop and take a couple of minutes. It doesn't even have to be 5 minutes, just to stand there and just bask in that sunlight, because it's going to help you later at night.
Yeah. And you know what? The most effective strategies are simple and free.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we think that's not big enough for me to take on right now. Like, I want to do the biggest, shiniest thing, but the basic foundations are generally what move the needle in the furthest in the right direction. So I know that some people are probably going to be like, I don't really want to do that, but these are like the easiest ways that you can really make the biggest impact in your life. So another really effective strategy is through exercise. So studies have actually shown that 20 plus minutes of exercise during the day alleviates anxiety symptoms and reduces amygdala activation in the long term. So if you exercise once, you'll get those effects for a few days afterwards. But if you exercise consistently, you continue blowing out that long-term reduced amygdala activation, because when you exercise, you actually are playing out the fight or flight response. So you're moving away from the thing that's scary, or you're fighting off your attacker, or whatever it is that you're doing. Your brain sends the signal to your amygdala that you are safe, right? So it tones down the sense that we are in trouble. And that is why when we exercise, we just create so much calm through our body. So 20 minutes of exercise is a big one for people. And it doesn't have to be intense exercise. It can be a 20-minute walk. It can be whatever you can fit in. I really encourage people to find something that you love to do. If you like dancing, if you like skipping, if you like playing basketball, whatever it is, find an experiment, something that you really enjoy doing, and stick with that, and just be consistent with that as well every day if you can.
Love it. And it's, again, simple, free, and effective.
Yeah, 100%. And you kind of touched on another big one there as well, because at the moment we are all kind of working from home or spending a lot more time on computers. But I guess over the years, like, reducing screen time has had its time to shine as well. And that we really understand now why that is the case and why it interrupts sleep so much. And the blue light and the wavelengths of blue light help activate us. They help us excrete cortisol and tell us that we're awake. But if you're watching TV or you're lying in bed at night and you're scrolling through your phone, then you're telling your brain, I need to be alert, I need to be awake. And it's really suppressing melatonin production as well. So this is probably the one that people struggle with the most, is putting down their phone or having a bit of a break for even just 20 minutes before you go to bed from screens is going to have such a big difference to your sleep routine. And trying not to, and this is something I struggle with, trying not to have my phone next to my bed so I can't just automatically pick it up if I do wake up in the middle of the night as well. And obviously that's a much harder kind of strategy that we all have. So I just encourage you to try and tone down the screen time as much as possible and have different activities that you can go to so that you feel more prepared to, instead of feeling completely like untethered and like you don't have a strategy, when you do wake up in the middle of the night, you do have a strategy that you can lean on as opposed to grabbing your phone straight away. So one of my favorite ways to kind of replace using screen time is also using a screen, but less of it. And that is through listening to audiobooks, right? Yeah. Because so often we will look at screens, and that really visual stimulation is something that really actively gets our brain juices going. But you can also think when you're watching screens. So a lot of the time we watch TV, but our brains are going a million miles an hour. With audio, it's a little bit different. So we actually kind of jam the overthinking thoughts that we might have. And we're also not stimulating our visual cortex. So what a different part of our brain is just kind of taking the reins and allowing us to move down a different narrative as well, which is really soothing. And if you are someone that overthinks, then audiobooks are a great choice. Not so much music, because when we listen to music, it tends to elicit kind of emotions, sometimes negative emotions, and that can kind of pivot on to being more negative thought patterns as well. But audiobooks are a great way to escape into a different world and allow yourself to really be immersed in something whilst you're preparing your body for sleep as well. So that's a really handy, handy tool to have. And audiobooks are also fun if you enjoy reading, but you can't be bothered picking picking up a book, then you can listen to an audiobook as well. Do you ever listen to audiobooks?
Oh, I love audiobooks. It's kind of the only way, it's a bit sad, but it's the only way I can read these days, because I am somebody, if I pick up a book, particularly at nighttime, I will fall asleep, which is good. That's what we want. But listening to an audiobook, I find I can listen to it in multiple scenarios. So that's how I get my reading done, which I love. So highly recommend it.
And now it's time for a quick break. Are you having trouble putting your anxious thoughts to rest? Calm your worried mind with our Calm Drops. Using a combination of naturally derived ingredients, our Calm Drops have been scientifically formulated to create a sense of calm and relieve feelings of restlessness and anxiety throughout your day. Just 8 drops under the tongue when you feel stressed or anxious can help allow your mind and body to relax and for your nerves to calm. We're offering our listeners 20% off their next purchase of our Calm Drops with the discount code podcast20. Try them today, available at thegoodnightco.com.au.
But another great one there, and this is something that I did last night, is listening to a guided meditation. You know, there are so many beautiful guided meditations, free, all free. There's a woman in New Zealand that has a website called fragrantheart.com, and she has probably 40 or 50 varying lengths of all types of beautiful guided meditations that you can listen to without music. And it's such a nice way just to close your eyes, pop on the meditation for 10, 15 minutes, and really transforms you into that calm state.
100%. And when we're young, we listen to stories when we're going to sleep, right? And it's the same thing. We can really latch on to talking much better than we can latch on to music. And it's much harder for us to have a thought going on in our brain when there's talking going on and we're focusing in on that. So meditations, audiobooks, any sort of narratives and talking that we can listen to are really, really beneficial as well. But if you're anything like me last night, who woke up at 4 a.m., and had a bit of a moment where I was like, oh no, I'll never get back to sleep. Once you are in bed, you've fallen asleep, and then you wake up during the middle of the night, this is where I feel like most frustration kind of comes from. Yeah. And I really encourage people, if you can't fall asleep after 30 minutes, or if you wake up and you're fully alert, it's time to get out of bed. It's time to change that state and environment that you're in. And try not to turn any lights on, or as little lights on as possible, for you to safely navigate your bedroom. But one of my favorite things to do is to use a yoga pose called legs up the wall. Yes. And this is where you might know it. It's something where you lie on your back. You put your legs vertically up the wall at a 90 degree angle. You can take some nice, slow, deep breaths while you're in this position, or you can just hang upside down pretty much for 5 to 10 minutes, or even just a few minutes. And this helps regulate your nervous system so well. And it's one of my go-to tips for anyone experiencing anxiety. If you have the capacity to lie on the couch or the bed or the floor and put your legs up the wall, it is the ultimate calming position to be in. So if you can't fall asleep after 30 minutes, or if you have woken up, get out of bed, put yourself on the floor, chuck your legs up the wall, and just hang there for a few minutes, and then get back in bed and try again. And this, like I said, it's consistency and repetition. The more that you can just choose kind of one thing that helps you fall back asleep, the more your brain goes, when you start to do legs up the wall, oh, this is the thing that helps us fall asleep. And it will become easier and easier to reach that state of sleep and calm when you get back into bed, the more consistent that you are with it as well. So yeah, it's sleep is such a slippery thing sometimes. And I know how frustrating it can be, but consistency and repetition are the main things that will get you through those moments of frustration for sure.
Thank you, Anna. I love legs up the wall pose. It's definitely one of my go-tos for lots of reasons, but definitely to get back to sleep. And so just for one last thing before we wrap up, for people that I think legs up the wall is a great one for people who are waking up in the middle of the night and needing to go back to sleep. But if there are people who are struggling to fall asleep because they've got a racing mind, they might have had a really stressful day, or there might be a more of a trauma incident that's lost a loved one, or, you know, going through a divorce, or whatever that might be. What is a technique that you would recommend for them to do pre going to bed, apart from, you know, creating a sleep routine, which is what we're trying to encourage people to do? What's something that could make up part of that routine?
Yeah, great question. And I think one of my favorite routines is to keep a worry journal, or as I like to call it, a BS journal, at the end of the day, as far away from your bedtime as possible. When you can schedule in some time to write down the worries that come to your mind and practice this, it does two things. Like, neurologically, you're activating a different part of your brain, so you can gain a different perspective on your thoughts. But B, it also allows you to eliminate the worry about worrying things that you might forget, right? So if you ever think, oh my God, I'm never going to remember to do this in the morning, then we sometimes worry that we're going to forget the things that we're worrying about. So having a worry journal, if you can do it a few hours before bed, then that's great. If you can do it 10 minutes before your bed, then that is great. Whatever works for you, but just getting like almost a brain dump of thoughts out onto a journal will really help put things into perspective for you as well.
Yeah, fabulous. You know, there's nothing better than writing things down, getting it out of your mind so that you can get on with what you really need to do, which is get to sleep.
Yeah, 100%. And breathing. Breathing is a great one too. And I know that people struggle with kind of sticking to a breathing technique, but the easiest thing that you can do if you are feeling elevated in any situation, or even when you're feeling calm and just want to continue that calm state, is to really elongate your exhale. So as long as you can push your exhale out and then hold your exhale at the bottom for like 2 seconds, then it will change your life. It will activate your parasympathetic nervous system and vagus nerve. It doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be, as long as you can push that exhale, and you will feel so much calmer because of that as well.
Oh, that is a great tip. Often we talk about, I'm a big lover of the box breathing technique, which I think is also quite simple, but that what you have talked about is also amazingly simple, that you can do in any environment.
And I think that's always the kicker. People don't want to do the really complicated things because it gets overwhelming. So if you can write down a few things that are really helpful for you, stick them on the back of your phone or in your phone case, wherever you have that portable resource with you, wherever you go.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much, Anna. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. Wishing you all the best of luck, and that hopefully things ease up soon in Melbourne for you. Where can people find you if they want to get some more information about the work that you're doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Shay. If anyone would like to connect with me, then on Instagram, I'm very active at Anna the Anxiety Coach, or on my website at annafergusoncoaching.com. But yeah, I have appreciated every moment that I have gotten to talk to you on this as well. So thank you for sharing.
Absolute pleasure. Hopefully we can connect again soon.
Definitely.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you for listening to The Goodnight Show. If you're keen to learn more about our guests or any of the topics we've spoken about today, hop on over to the Goodnight Co. closed Facebook community group. Or check us out at thegoodnightco.com.au. And if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us on your favourite podcast provider by searching The Goodnight Show. And if you love what you're hearing, don't forget to leave us a glowing review. Thanks, everyone.